glad you know the peace speaker today. God, we give you praise. We give you praise. We have an agenda. We have a message. But more importantly than getting through an agenda or getting through a sermon is to have an encounter with the God of the universe. That's why we come. At least that's why I come to church. I'm preaching. I don't come to hear the message. I've already preached it to myself. But I come to encounter Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, too many places that you go, you never encounter the God of the Bible. You may hear about Him. You may learn about Him. You may sing songs about Him. You may hear messages about Him. But too many people never actually meet the God of the universe. And aren't you glad that you can do that when you come to church? That when you call upon the name of Jesus, He is there. He's everywhere and He's always with us. But when you call upon His name, He reveals Himself to you. He allows you to interact with Him and to feel Him. And it's 11:18 now, which is about 18 minutes behind when I should have dismissed the kids. We're going to do that right now and try to abbreviate some of the message that I have today. Going to finish up chapter 3 of the book of Ephesians today, and we'll see where the Lord leads next week. But Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm going to move down here. Verse 14, Paul writes, "When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the Creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from His glorious unlimited resources He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God." And then verse 20, "Now all glory to God, who is able through His mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to Him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen." I'm going to preach for a little bit with this title, and we'll probably end a little different, but a prayer and a praise, a prayer and a praise. God bless you. You may be seated. Have you ever played sports or played games and have a group of people there that you're playing with, and you're the biggest person out there? Anybody ever been playing basketball, and you're like the biggest person? You're playing with all these little kids, and then it's like you against everybody. Anybody ever played basketball like that on the elementary court? Or it's you and one other kid against five others, you know? In what would be an impossible scenario if it were not for the fact that you were bigger than everybody else and they couldn't block your shot, or they couldn't take the ball from you, you could hold it up, you could get every rebound. I've played that with my son at times. He's like, "Yeah, me and my dad against all six of you over there." And so it's about who your partner is sometime and who's on your team as to how things will go. There's a show called Shark Tank. You have five multimillionaires slash billionaires, depending on who's there. I think it's five. And people will come and they will present their ideas and their new startup businesses to these men and women. And the goal is to get these men and women to buy into their product or their business, because they know that if they get somebody who's a billionaire on their team, the chances of their business succeeding is much greater than if they try to do it on their own. They know that if they have input and insight and money from these people, that they're going to do much better than if they try to do it on their own. That's true in almost any area of life, where if you have the right people on your team and the right people on your side, it just makes everything better. 1 Samuel 17 tells us of the story of David. There's many chapters, of course, over his life, but in 1 Samuel 17, the most famous story about David, the story that people who aren't Christians or know much about the Bible, it's the story they know. It's the story of David fighting Goliath. Goliath is in the valley, and he comes out every day, and he challenges the people of Israel, and he says, "Send me a man to fight, and if I win, then you guys will serve us, and if you win, then if this man wins, then I will serve, or we will serve, the Philistines would serve the Israelites." And so everybody is afraid, and nobody wants to go out and face Goliath. He's out in the valley, and he's roaring like a train every day, and he's continuing to talk to them and taunt them, and nobody wants to do it. And David comes on the scene. He's there, and I don't want to get into all the details, but he's there, and he's like, "Well, why is nobody fighting this guy? What's the problem?" And they think he's just smarting off and just showing off. And ultimately, when David gets out into the valley and he's going to fight Goliath, he shows up at a sword fight with a sling and a stone. He's got a sling and he's got five stones he's picked up in the creek on the way. Not how you want to fight a giant who's at least 9 feet tall, and he's got a sword that David would be able to barely lift, and he's got a spear, and he goes through all of the weights and how big and how strong and how massive this guy is. But the deal is that it wasn't David by himself. He had a partner. He had somebody on his team that enabled him to defeat Goliath. When he said to Goliath, he said, "You come at me with sword and spear and shield, but I come at you in the name of the Lord God." And when you have God on your side, there is nothing that is impossible. When you have the right partner, anything is possible. And that's where we're going to end up today. When we come to this passage in Ephesians, Paul is getting ready to make a transition in the text. He's getting ready to kind of make a shift. I've told you before that the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians is Paul explaining all of the great things that God has done for the Christian. All of the wonderful things done for the child of God, the blessings, the favor, the salvation, the fact that we sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and we're saved by grace through faith, and we didn't earn it, but He graciously just gave it to us. All of these things we see. And now He comes down to the text that we read, and He says this: "When I think of all of this, when I think of everything that I've just written about, when I think of all of the wonderful things that God has done," He said, "I fall to my knees and pray." That the first thing He does, He says, I see what God has done. And He says, "But I fall to my knees and pray because I want you to understand fully what God has done. I want you to really grasp what God has done. I can tell you what He's done, but unless you really understand and know, it just kind of goes over your head." Have you ever been in a meeting somewhere, and it could be important, or your spouse is talking to you or whatever, but you're not sure they're talking to you, and so you're just like, "What did you say?" And you missed it all. Anybody been there? And so when I'm sometimes, if two people are talking, I could be doing my own thing. They could then start talking to me, but unless they call my name, I have no idea they were talking to me. I'm in my own little world. I'm reading something. I'm thinking about something. I'm writing a sermon, whatever. And if they don't say Mark, or in the case of my wife, Babe, they don't say that, I'm just like over here. "Oh, y'all were talking. You change conversations," and I was tuned out. And Paul is, he's writing to the Ephesians, but he doesn't want them to miss it. He's telling them everything that they need to know about how good God is. And he's like, I don't want you to miss this, though. I was in chapel when I was a student in Bible college. And a guy, it was immediately after chapel, there was these two guys. One of them was telling me about this problem his friend was having. And we had just come out of chapel, and the message was the perfect answer and solution to what this guy needed. And he's telling me, I said, well, did he not hear what was going on there? He said, yeah, but he thought that's for somebody else. And Paul is saying, I don't want you to miss it. He says, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. He offers this, what I would term a pastoral prayer. He's in essence, he's like the bishop of Ephesus. They have a pastor that he's appointed, but he said, I don't want you to miss this. And he offers this prayer, and this prayer is multifold. The first thing he does is he prays for their empowerment. In verse 16, he said, I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. I want you to be strong. I want God, the creator of the universe, I want him to empower you with strength in your inner man. That when difficulties come, when viruses come, when pandemics come, that you can be strong because you know who Jesus is and you know what he has done in your life. When difficulties come, you can be strong. I want you to be empowered. Verse 17, he says in this prayer, I want you to be rooted in God's love. I don't want you just to know about it. I want you to be strong and to take root in God's love. You ever planted a plant or a flower or a bush and you didn't get it deep enough and the roots don't really take hold? There's nothing wrong with the bush. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just you didn't plant it very good. And he says, I want you to be rooted. I don't want you just to know that it's there. I want you to be rooted and grounded in it. God says this, that nothing, Paul wrote in Romans, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not tribulation, not trials, not darkness, not anything in this world or anything in the world to come. Nothing can separate us from his love. Be rooted in his love. And it is roots that make us strong. I don't remember the exact tree this is, I think it's true of palm trees as well, but palm trees, if they have no wind that blows against them, their roots are really shallow. That if they're in a place where they're protected from the wind and they mature, that when wind finally comes and blows against them, they will blow over. But it is the wind that sounds like a train for the second time today coming through in the opposite direction. We're supposed to sing This Train is Bound for Glory right now, right? Must be because of the coronavirus, trains are coming by during my preaching today. We'll blame everything on the coronavirus. But when these trees, the palm trees, when they have wind from the time that they're little, their roots get deeper and they grow stronger. And so when they're big and they're mature, their roots are such that they can't be blown over. That he says, I want you to be rooted in God's love, that you have to be strong in God's love. And that everything else pales in comparison to understanding and being in God's love. That is what will see you through difficulty, is the love of God. And he says, I want you to understand it. He says, it is infinitely wide. You can't comprehend how wide it is, and you can't comprehend how long it is, and you can't comprehend how high it is or how deep. It is beyond measure. And for those of you that build things or engineers or whatever background, something that you can't measure, it's not possible. You have to be able to measure it. But he says God's love is beyond comprehension. It is too wide for us to understand it. It is too long. It's too high. It is too deep. It is beyond our comprehension. And the fact that it's beyond our comprehension is incomprehensible. To think of somebody whose love is beyond our experience. We have our frame of reference is what we typically experience in this life. If you have a bad experience or you have a good experience, then you take that experience and you begin to extrapolate what you believe based on that moment. If you have a bad upbringing, then family, depending on who you are, family could be, I don't want anything to do, I don't want a family. I don't want to have anything to do with a family because it didn't go well. Other people would say, well, I had a bad upbringing, so I'm going to do everything I can to make a good family. I'm going to live opposite of that. But we take this frame of reference. But he says, God's love, we can talk about it, and we can say, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and that Jesus Christ went to the cross to die in my place. We can talk about that, but we really can't comprehend that. That somebody who knew no sin and someone who was perfect and had no flaws at all would go to the cross to die for me. That almost 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died in my place so I didn't have to die. That's incomprehensible. We can't comprehend his love. It is beyond our comprehension. So Paul makes this prayer. In the King James, verse 19 says it this way, "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." He says God's love passes all of our knowledge. That whatever and however great you think his love is, it's greater, it's better, it's bigger, it's wider, it's deeper, it's longer, it's higher. It is beyond anything that we know. Outside of the realm of our experience, we can't comprehend loving somebody like Adolf Hitler, or in more recent times, Jihadi John, or we can't even fathom loving somebody who would do the atrocities that they did and that they were responsible for. But here's what I know. Had they turned to God, had they called upon him, had they repented of their sins and of their evil ways, the God of the universe would forgive them and save them, because his love is beyond our comprehension. We can't fully comprehend that. It's greater than anything that we can comprehend. But he can do that. So no matter how bad somebody is, God loves them. God wants them to be in relationship with him. In addition to this pastoral prayer, he gives a praise. He makes a transition in verse 20, he says, "Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever." He gives this praise because of God's power. And he says it is not just God's power everywhere, he says, but it is God's power that is working in us. And think about this. It is the same power in us that created the world. That the God of the universe who speaks the worlds into existence, it is his power that is resident in us. That when we become children of God through the new birth and we are born again of water and spirit, his power comes and lives within us. It's the same power that heals the sick. It's the same power in the Old Testament that you see healing the sick and healing Naaman the leper and many others. And it's the same power that in the New Testament Jesus is displaying, and he's healing the sick everywhere he goes. That is the power that's at work in you and I when we're a child of God. Anybody thankful for that? Anybody seen God heal? Anybody experience God's healing power? I've seen people healed. At times, I didn't even feel his power. I, just I saw him at work. I saw broken arms be healed. I've prayed for people and seen people that heart conditions be touched and healed instantaneously. I've seen people have tumors that would disappear instantaneously by the power of God. And he says that is the power that is at work in us. It is the same power that raises the dead. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That is the power that lives within us. I just heard recently of a man who was pastoring a church and somebody died in the middle of service. That would kind of put a damper on things, right? I mean, somebody just falls over dead in the middle of service. It's like, I guess we're going to wrap this one up. But the man said that God spoke to him and said, go back and tell her to get up. She's dead. There are paramedics and there are medical professionals in the building. They've taken a pulse. There's no pulse. There's no heartbeat. There's no breathing. She's dead. And he said, just go back there and tell her to get up. So he goes back to where she is and calls her by name and tells her to get up. And she coughs and opens her eyes. And instantaneously, God raises her from the dead. I don't know if you believe that story. I believe that story. We've got Bible to say that Jesus did that. And we've got Bible that Peter did that. It happens. And it still happens today. That is the power that is at work in us when we are a child of God. That's what you and I have resident in us. Anybody thankful for the power of God that's at work in us? Why don't we give him a hand clap of praise? He said his power beyond imagination, beyond anything that you can ask or think. That's the power that's at work in us. So what that tells me is this: if God's power is at work in us, and it goes beyond anything that we can ask or think, that what you and I should do is to make big plans. To not just go through life going, well, I hope I can make it through today. We don't have to go, I hope I can make it through today, but I can make big plans because I have a partner that's living on the inside of me who gives me the power to do infinitely more than I can ask or think. The God of the universe is my partner. I don't need the Shark Tank people, and I don't need to be an adult playing with elementary kids to be good at basketball. God is on my side, and because he's on my side and living on the inside, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Anybody have anything you would like to do in your life or like to do for God, whether it's... And sometimes it may just be, I want to be a millionaire. It has nothing to do with God, but you know what? God can help you do that. You don't need Shark Tank to help you out when you have God on your side. As the musicians come, God's power and God's love for us is infinite. His power is beyond whatever we can ask or think. That means it's beyond what we can conjure up, what we can even think of. His love for us is beyond any experience we've ever had. It's wider, it's longer, it's deeper, it's higher. And what all of this means is this, is that we should reciprocate God's love. That we should stand in awe of his love for us and what he has done for us. We should stand in awe of his power and what he has done in our life and what he can do through our lives. I was thinking about how to close this message. I've been around the church, and when I say church, I mean the apostolic church, church that follows the preaching, teaching of the apostles, the book of Acts, yea, the entire Bible. And so I've seen miracles. I've seen signs. I've seen wonders. I don't know that I've ever been in a service where somebody was brought back to life, but I've heard those stories all of my... A few months ago, I shared a story of a baby that was born, I think it was Trinidad Tobago. Her legs were backwards. But prayer was made. And when God's people pray, God reacts and God intervenes. And it was the next day, the mom goes to get the baby, and the legs, which had been facing the wrong direction, were normal. I showed you the before and the after pictures of what that looked like. It's not Photoshop. I know people who know the people. They're not making it up. And what he did and what God did in the Bible, he can still do today. I've heard stories of missionaries getting shot, bullet holes in their clothes, and the bullets just go through their clothes and fall to the ground. That's the God that we serve. Does he do it in every case? No. But can he do it? Yes, he can. That there's nothing too hard for our God. I've heard stories, and if you watch any action movies, you see this, man. You see these cars go airborne, and they've got these ramps and special effects. But I know missionaries who are driving at roadblocks in third world countries, and they're going to be held up. And they call on the name of Jesus. And they just, all they say is, Jesus, help us. And the next thing they know, that roadblock which was in front of them is now behind them, as God just takes their car and transports it over the roadblock and off they go. That's the God we serve. He did that in the Bible. He did that in Acts chapter 8. Philip, he's out in the middle of the desert. He's preaching to an Ethiopian eunuch. And the eunuch says to him at the end of this message, he's talking about Jesus one-on-one, and he says, well, can I be baptized? And Philip says, well, if you believe with all of your heart, you can be baptized. And he says they both went down into water, the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them, and they came out of the water. And the Bible says of Philip that he was, in essence, transported 26 miles away to the city of Azotus. That's a lot further than just taking the car and lifting it over a roadblock. But we serve a God whose power is beyond our comprehension. It is beyond anything we can ask or think. The Bible is full of the supernatural. And what our world needs is the supernatural. What our world needs is for Jesus to show up and to do miracles, signs, and wonders. And his plan is to do those through us. He doesn't do it in a vacuum. He does it through his people. People just like you. People just like me. The God of the universe. The power work in us. When we pray, God moves. And when we take authority, God intervenes. And when we ask for the miraculous, God shows up. Anybody thankful that you have the power of God working inside of you today? I'm going to ask you to stand, and I'm going to ask you to even go ahead and come around the front of the building today. I don't know what you may need in your life. I don't know if you have anything that you need God to do. Maybe everything's great. But whether it's something that you need or something that somebody you know has need of today, God wants to take care of that. I just have a faith today that whatever you ask God for today, he just might take care of that. Sometimes we pray and we ask God and we ask for weeks or months and sometimes years and he doesn't do it. But maybe today is the day we say, God, this is what I need. I need you to be at work in my family. I need you to bring healing to my family, or I need you to bring salvation to my family, or whatever you have need of today. God can do it. Anybody believe that he can? And when, if you believe that he can, I want you to right now begin to ask in faith, believing not only that he can, but that he will do whatever you need him to do today. As they sing, would you ask him right now, Jesus, we believe you. We put our trust, our hope in you.